those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
May you stay
forever young.
May you stay forever young. From theblogulator.com, this is Blogulator Radio.
I am Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
We are here skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. Why?
Which is also at FancyPantsGangsters.com as well.
Yeah, you snuck that in.
I did, because I didn't get it in there earlier. And
why do we do all this?
Because, Bridget, our opinions are valid.
That's horrible.
I'm done feigning enthusiasm for that.
Wow.
I mean, I'm enthusiastic. I just, you know...
Wow.
I don't want the listeners to, and there are many listeners out there. I'm enthused.
What?
I don't know.
Do you know what words mean?
No. What? Who? Where am I?
I don't know.
Right now.
You can't... If you're enthused, then you wouldn't be feigning enthusiasm.
Well, yes, but my... my enthusiasm is kind of a calm enthusiasm.
Okay, so you're...
So,
you're done feigning that particular display of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Well, I my opinions are valid.
Well, I appreciate that.
Jerk face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tonight we have some, or today, this afternoon, this morning, whenever you listen, some invalid opinions about the end of this season of Parenthood.
Yes, and as we've done twice earlier in this season, I think we've recorded... all Parenthood, all the time episode after every 6 episodes in this third season, and this episode just so happens to follow the season finale and episodes 13 through 18.
Yes, because we finally just watched the last 3 episodes, including the season finale.
Right, which aired last Tuesday.
Right.
So we're all caught up, and we're current, and we're down with the P-hood,
mm-hmm.
and
what do we think? Has it been renewed yet for this next season?
It has not officially been renewed for a fourth season yet.
Are we worried that there are implications,
canceled.
There are hints that it's not coming back?
Well, possibly, because the showrunner, Jason Kadams, of course, of Friday Night Lights as well, is developing a new show mm-hmm. on NBC called County,
mm-hmm.
which will also star Jason Ritter, who plays Mark on Parenthood, and mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan, who played Vince on Friday Night Lights and Alex on Parenthood, and Wallace on The Wire. Wire alert!
Woo.
But on the other hand, NBC is totally shit. So and Parenthood is one of the few shows that doesn't do great, but does okay in key demographics.
Okay.
Like affluent young adults, basically.
That's us.
Yeah, we're really affluent.
Yeah.
Super affluent.
We can relate to their problems of privilege.
Right, it's a very common thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So
where did speaking of Jason Ritter?
Yes.
Where did Mark and Lorelai?
Sarah
Waverman. Where did they leave off? Because now we watched 3 episodes in a row, and that was several nights ago.
He proposed to her.
And that's where we left it. So they're still together. He proposed to her. They're all happy.
So I was really bracing myself for, like, a really, really, really sad breakup because... And it would have been so much sadder because, Like, they're both such, like, great people.
Yeah, I
and,
love
like,
Mark.
They're both just, like,
I didn't think I was going to like Mark because of his stupid facial hair.
I hated him for a long time for no good reason.
His stupid facial hair is a good reason.
That's the... Well, yeah, it's a decent reason. But, yeah, he's just such a great guy.
He is.
He's just...
God, what a great guy.
You know, he takes your teenage son out for a burger and talks to him and...
And when Drew started
smiles.
Crying... OMG.
Oh, my God.
That was beautiful.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves, okay. But...
So he's going to be starring in this new show.
Yes, called County, and it's ostensibly a medical drama, but you know if Jason Kadams is writing it, it's going to be somewhat emotional.
Somewhat emotional.
And I think this is his first show that's not based on a movie originally. Because Friday Night Lights was based on a movie, which was based on a book, and Parenthood is based on a movie.
That movie with
very loosely.
Steve
Martin. I mean, they're both pretty loosely
based. Is it, or are they
based.
Both just called Parenthood?
Well, technically, yes, it's based on the movie Parenthood, but it's very loosely based.
And Friday Night Lights is fairly loosely based on the movie.
Yeah, yeah, football, Texas. That's
right. Family,
that's all you need.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think that where we left off in terms of episodes, the episode 13, I think, or at least I don't think we've talked about this episode, was where the Braverman clan drove to Grandma's house.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that episode? Really?
I don't know.
Really?
Okay, I liked it. It's been a long time now, and it's hard for me to think back and remember how I felt while I was watching it. There were parts of the episode that I liked a lot. I liked the dynamic between Zeke and his mom. I mean, as played out through Zeke and the rest of his family.
Yes.
And especially how
and his
Zeke
mom
and...
played by, What's-His-Face's from Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
The mom,
Bunny.
Kyle MacLachlan's mom on Sex and the City.
Bunny, I don't know the actress's name.
Yeah.
I like that because Zeke is kind of the in charge.
He's the patriarch.
Yeah, of the family.
Sure.
It was nice seeing him kind of maybe where that's coming from a little bit and his relationship with his mom.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things that as young adults now, so we're like in the Crosby, Julia age.
Right, right.
Range, though not necessarily advanced career. And
I personally don't own or lease out a studio that somebody will want to buy from me, even though I don't actually own it.
And I'm not like a crazy high powered lawyer living in what can only be described as a stark Scandinavian dream house.
Right.
Oh,
Julia and Joel.
You know, where does your money come from, everyone? But anyway,
It's not the show where you need to question that.
I know, but so we're supposed to relate to, like, the Julia Crosby kind of characters. We're about in that age range, I think, maybe a little younger.
Mm-hmm,
way younger. Really young.
Super young.
But,
Definitely not close to 30.
But it was kind of interesting seeing as, like, that generation experiences their father, so the Zeke, our parents' generation, basically, dealing with Zeke's mom.
Mm.
So dealing with, like, who you know as grandma, who your dad knows as mom, and kind of seeing a different kind of mother-son dynamic playing out as a way to kind of make one realize how appreciative they are of their relationship with their dad, who has his problems, but is a lot more loving than his mother was, and maybe, I don't know, it's always fun. Families, right? To kind of trace that stuff back.
Totally.
The dysfunction. Sometimes it makes it really clear why your parents do stuff when you take a look as an adult at the relationship they have with their own parents. I don't know. That's all.
I can see that.
So I liked that whole... I liked the way that that was played out. And in true... So despite its perhaps potential flaws or whatever, criticisms, I think one thing that Parenthood just does really, really well as a show is kind of that subtle emotional character, family dynamic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way that's really poignant, but also, like, really believable and really natural. So I feel like the whole overbearing mother, it makes Zeke go crazy. As much as it was an episode full of hilarious hijinks, it also felt very real mm-hmm. in terms of the characters' emotions and how they were dealing with things. So Zeke's relationship to, or him talking about his mom and how he was, like, acting, preparing to go see his mom, felt really real and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way Bonnie Bedelia...
Camille,
I'm sorry, was dealing
they
with,
have names.
Zeke felt really genuine, and the way she was kind of trying to mediate between him and the children. I don't know. I did like that aspect of that episode.
Yeah.
But
I like the fact that it was just kind of a standalone episode that, and it just worked on its own. At this point in the series, we know
that's
the characters
true. They don't
so
have
well.
That many standalone.
Right. We know the characters so well that, and part of the appeal of the show to me is just hanging out with the characters and being like, oh, mostly for me, just like hating on Adam because he's such a dick. Even mm-hmm. though, like, deep down, you know, like, he's a good older brother.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Deep down, he knows he's a good older brother, am I right?
Yeah,
dick.
Right. But, yeah, I liked that. And actually, one thing that I thought of when I was reflecting back on this episode is the best episode of Big Love was, in my opinion, was the episode where they had a road trip.
Mm.
As well, and I think
that was a pretty good episode. You think that was best overall
of Big Love?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And
road trip didn't end the same way.
Well, no, but it was the same basic idea.
I know. I'm just making a joke about the content of Big Love versus.
Well, in a way, it did. It was in a way. I mean,
in a way,
it was
in
like
a way they had
at the end. They all came together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Big Love, it was like, oh, miscarriage from
and churches
teenager,
and stuff.
Church stuff
yeah.
and something. I think, when, like, reflecting on it that way, I think it's almost like a better version of Big Love. Because, to me, the best parts of Big Love were, like, the messy family dynamics and family, like, so how many different people can get along with each other. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the show kind of, not to talk about Big Love for too long, but it didn't seem to, like, want to focus on one thing too much. And obviously in the fourth season when things just got really crazy and ridiculous, that I think the show kind of went off the rails. Whereas I think Parenthood is a similar type of show, family-oriented drama, but they're somehow able to, like you were saying, it feels a lot more naturalistic. And I really think, like, this third season overall felt a lot more naturalistic, a lot more like it was scripted in a way that all of the family members were talking over each other
mm-hmm.
really effectively. And in a by the time you're in season three, you feel like you know the characters and when their tendencies and when they talk over each other, things are just like, just moments are funnier because you know exactly how characters are going to react, and just in the way that you know your own family almost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, should we just go through characters and?
Or should we go ep by ep?
Because I don't really remember what happens in every episode except for.
What was episode 14 about?
I don't remember.
15?
See, starting on 14 through 18 was the introduction of Zoe maybe starting to have cold feet about the baby with Julia.
Yes, and wasn't it around then that we also, Dr. Joe and Jasmine got more serious?
Yeah.
And Crosby met the cello player?
Cellist, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Kind of around the same...
Yeah.
Did we talk about the CeeLo episode in there, or was that earlier?
I think we talked about that. Synergy, NBC.
So do you want to go with the baby plot?
Yeah.
That was kind of weird from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think I like the way it ended up playing out.
Yeah, I love the way it played like out, they, actually.
They kind of righted a wrong in the way that play, or I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but they salvaged what could have been a really horrible ending of that plot line, well, and actually made it really kind of wonderful instead.
What would have made it a horrible ending?
Something like they adopt the baby and Zoe comes to live with them and everyone's happy forever.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would
have like been horrible. I felt I could have seen like something weird like that. I thought was going to happen. Like,
yeah. Like, I think the only, and of course, obviously,
and Zoe's going to live with us and just be the nanny.
Yeah,
and everyone's happy with that.
I think the only dramatically satisfying conclusion to that arc was that Zoe was going to keep the baby.
Yeah,
and I kind of expected it to happen, but when it did, it didn't feel any less gut-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, from the beginning, the plot line seemed ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
At the very beginning, it seemed really ridiculous. But I think a couple scenes in the second to last episode, Remember Me, I'm the One Who Loves You.
Mm-hmm.
Great titles, Parenthood, by the way.
Yeah.
The first scene that where I think I tweeted while I was watching it, nailed it, was where she was giving birth. And, like, the sound went just to music, and then it cut into her screaming. And it, so, like, the birth scene itself already felt a lot more raw than most TV birth scenes.
And most other Parenthood scenes,
right.
I felt.
Yeah, like, it was very kind of stark.
Like, compared to, like, Christina's birth scene.
Yeah,
with
oh, yeah. Nora. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which was, that was... Was that this season? No, yeah.
That was the season.
That was earlier
wow,
this season.
Wow, a lot of stuff's happened
where,
this season.
Where, yeah, that was the episode lives. Where Adam was dressed as a, like, in hip-hop clothes for some reason.
yeah.
That was kind of funny. But then that scene, and then the conclusion of that scene where Zoe just said, I don't want to see him, like, that felt like I got kind of chills.
Mm-hmm.
And then the concluding scene to that episode. Of course, I'm a sucker for any TV show that attempts to use a song that I really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
But they in this case, they took the entire 8 minutes of Death Cab for Cutie's Transatlanticism and did a montage.
Yeah, that was
it's
pretty good.
It's like a combination of things that I, like, of course I'm going to like it. It's the same as, like, in Moneyball, where it's like, well, of course I'm going to like this, because it's about spreadsheets, in explosions in the sky, and baseball. So of course I'm going to... So it's like a combination of things like that, so that even when it was, like, at the end of that scene, it was like Crosby and Jasmine getting back together, even though I wasn't sure that I really wanted to see that, I was still, like, bawling.
I did not see the Crosby. I don't want to jump topics.
Yeah, sorry.
But I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I kind of saw. I actually didn't really see Zoe keeping the baby either. I thought that.
See, I feel like.
I don't know. What I thought was going to happen was Zoe was going to give up the baby, but they would decide to do, like, an open adoption, and she would kind of stay a part of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's usually. Because in real life, that might be a possibility for how that would play out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's not, like, a very, like, dramatically satisfying possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's a possibility that Parenthood might go with.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, well, I want to do... Let's do an open adoption instead. And then...
Yeah.
And then, in the meantime, we'll continue to help you, like, get on your feet and...
Yeah.
And you'll be like, I owe everything to you.
Right.
And they'll have, like, a shot of, like, the fight... Like, next season, the kid would be, like, 3... And it would be like, this is my biological mommy, and this is my other mommy, and I love them both. And
yeah.
Everyone would smile.
Right.
Like, I kind of, that's where I saw that whole thing going, and I
sure.
was not happy about that, because it was, I mean...
So kudos to the writers for not going that route.
Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting in terms of character, whatever, that Zoe trying to pull away from Julia... was something that Julia saw as an indication of her changing her mind about the baby, when actually, if she had just let her pull away, she probably would not have changed her mind about the baby.
Right, because...
So Julia intervening into her life, if... And I, like, I don't know if that was really as altruistic as Julia made it seem. If she... I mean, I don't doubt that she cared about Zoe on some level, but, like, I wonder... if that was because she cared about Zoe, but also because she was nervous about... Like, she wanted to keep her close in order to make sure that she could still, you know, would get the baby. At least on some level, I'm sure that was a motivation, talking like they're real people. Let's just say that's how we're going to talk about them, like they're real people.
Yeah, they are.
But by intervening into her life and becoming more of, like, a friend or a support system to her, she probably also... made it more difficult. Well, ultimately,
she kind of gave her the strength that she needed to keep the baby.
I think that's what Zoe said, right? Kind of, or
well, I,
or
is I that think what that's you said? What I think that's what I said.
Okay, yeah.
But it,
see, and I don't know if I like that because I don't necessarily know that I enjoy seeing adoption as the unstrong option. Is that right? Right? Oh, so yeah, like, sense, oh, yeah. I needed this strength to make the choice to keep my baby, which is the more difficult choice. Like, I think. I don't know. So I don't know if that's where they were going. I think a little bit that's where they were going, and that kind of...
I'll be interested to see if they...
rubs me the wrong way on a macro sort of level.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I don't know, like, if she thought... if the giving up the baby was the right choice for her, like...
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that she wasn't... it was because she was not strong enough to keep it. Which I do feel like parenthood kind of was like, oh... they are making her, now she's strong enough to choose to keep her baby because she's able to, like, get back in contact with her family and study for her GED and see that she can accomplish stuff. And
right.
That also means choosing to parent.
And also, like...
because it kind of implies that, like, well, the rational, the choice that a mother would want to make is to choose to parent. And the only reason she wouldn't is because there are other circumstances preventing her from doing so.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I care for that. Sort of anti-feminist. Just, I don't know. Sorry. Now that we're talking about it, and I've been reading a lot of theory tonight, so. What did you think?
I thought Rosa Salazar was, as Zoe, was excellent.
Yeah.
I
agree, and I do, okay, so backtrack everything I just said. I liked the way that it played out, and I enjoyed
how yeah, it happened. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Who else? What else happened this season?
Do you want to stay away from that now?
No,
you're scared of me now?
I'm not scared of you.
Okay. Many...
I just feel like, yeah, you know. I personally don't like to get into culture and class battles in fictional TV shows, but that's just me.
Okay. Well, we can't avoid that, ultimately. Well, although I don't think that... Okay.
We can avoid it, though, if we choose to not talk about it. That's the way I like to
And that takes
things.
Care of that.
Right.
No, well, okay, I get what you're saying, but... And I... So I also, despite everything that I've just said about the class culture stuff, I do think that you can... look at a work of fiction and look at it on kind of a micro level and look at how the characters' individual relationships are playing out and stuff like that is happening, and that can be interesting and awesome and good. And then you can also step back from it and look at it on a macro level and think, well, what is this? Is this work trying to take a stand on a certain thing, or can it be interpreted as taking a stand on a certain thing? Or, I mean, maybe not. I mean, you could also read that scene as... Zoe, I mean, it, you know, that because culture generally says, okay, I'm sorry.
Stop, please.
All right, we'll stop. We'll talk about other stuff.
Okay.
The music was nice.
The music? What music?
I don't know. I'm trying to...
you're reading too much academic crap. Sorry.
Wow.
Right now.
I feel like this just went really sour. I liked it. I liked what happened with the Zoe thing. I liked that they took a possibly more difficult route by having Zoe keep the baby, and they did a total gotcha by having her at first not want to hold the baby.
Well, and I mean, if you want to look at it from a macro level, maybe in season four, should there be a season four, they can explore what happens when an affluent family who wanted to adopt a quote-unquote perfect baby instead is a foster parent to a kid who's quote-unquote troubled.
Yeah, I mean, or his mother isn't. Yeah,
that an will older be,
kid. I do really like that that's where they went with them getting a kid.
It almost felt to me like the end of season three of Friday Night Lights, where it was like, and almost in the way that they directed it and presented it, where at the end of season three of Friday Night Lights, you know, the coach and Mrs. Coach look out at their new school, which is East Dillon. And I felt like they were, even like the camera work that they did was almost exactly the same, where the camera like zoomed out of the house the same way that the camera zoomed out like watching the football field. I'm not sure that it's, that it has the same dramatic possibilities, just because, I mean, Friday Night Lights is such a special show, and Parenthood, while also good, is not nearly at that level. But it could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting. I'm thinking now of Parenthood in terms of compare contrast with Friday Night Lights. That might be a fun thing to think about for a future ep or some tweets.
And speaking of Friday Night Lights crossovers, I loved that the actor who plays Billy Riggins was in the finale as a character named Billy.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yes. So I was just going to say, Friday Night Lights seems to deal more explicitly with issues of class and race and gender, but the more I think about it, maybe it doesn't deal with those things all that explicitly. They were just more kind of there, because it seems like...
Well, how did they not deal with them explicitly?
Well, this is like, so, I mean, there are ways of dealing with issues by saying, like, let's, like, be, like, after school specially about it, and, or, like, a Lifetime movie-y about it, and there are ways of dealing with issues by, like, watching how stuff might realistically play out in a fictional setting, right? So I feel like, it actually took Friday Night Lights until East Dillon was a thing. To deal with a lot of, like, at least, like, race issues.
Yeah.
In that, I mean, with football and with
Texas and the small town. That was
Texas and the small
pivot
town.
Point where they were able to do it in a way, storytelling-wise, that didn't that feel like it was shoehorned in.
Or that it was too forced. And so, I mean, things crept up earlier than that.
Yeah.
With, like, individual characters and individual situations, but it wasn't as much a theme of the show, I think. And maybe I'm wrong, it's been a while now, but I'm wondering, because one, I think, complaint that can be hurled at Parenthood is that it's a little too colorblind, maybe, in its approach to things. So I'm just wondering if that's going to be a shift in season four, if there are going to be moments for them to deal with different kinds of things. But also... I'm not necessarily saying that that's my own complaint against Parenthood, because I also wouldn't want them to deal with stuff just to deal with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, this episode is going to be about, I don't know. But, I mean, because there was some stuff that they dealt with, like, Hattie and, like, confronting prejudices of, her parents when she was dating, what's his name, speaking Alex. Of Friday Night Lights crossover.
Yep.
So I wonder if they're gonna, I don't know, that's all.
Okay.
What's going to come of season four?
Yeah.
If it happens.
What other characters? There was,
I feel like we're fighting now. Are we fighting now?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
So Crosby.
Stills and Nash.
Crosby, Stills and Nash.
Okay. And so Crosby and Jasmine, did you see that coming?
No.
I didn't at all. How do you feel about that? On a scale of meh to me to yay.
I don't love it. Because I don't really...
Use my scale.
I guess just meh.
Okay.
Instead of meh.
Okay.
Wait, what would... Say your scale.
Meh. Meh. Yay.
Okay. what's, like, in between meh and yay?
Oh, really?
There's got to be something in between that, because...
You feel meh plus?
meh plus. No, I feel strictly meh.
Okay.
Because I'm not very interested in Crosby and Jasmine together.
Okay.
I'm not, like, when they're together, it's not very interesting show-wise, and I feel like it's, I mean, I, at the end of the show, of course I want them to be together, because Jabbar is just freaking adorable, and when Jabbar was just so happy to see them getting married, that was just, like, the most adorable thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
But from a show...
Oh, Jabbar is by far the cutest kid on that show.
Yeah. On a show full of cute kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I'm pretty meh overall. Even though, like I said, the scene where she proposed... Wait, did she propose to him?
Yeah.
In the rain, and it was kind of like a big time trope.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, and it's still, and it was in the rain. Yeah, like in the rain. It's still, like,
was it
I
raining?
Said, I think it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
But the transatlanticism just made me won me over.
Yeah.
The thing that you commented on, that you said you hoped you would see and then you did see happen, was like the aftermath of that, which was Crosby having to break up with the cute cellist girl and Jasmine having to break up with Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
And that was kind of... I was really glad they did that, because it was like, okay, now in TV land, the characters who you all want to get married again and get back together again, they get it. But then usually TV shows don't explore, like, the... like, what the other shoe dropping in that situation.
Right. I believe it was fictional character Arthur Brooks on television's Dawson's Creek season...
Oh,
is
sure.
it four?
Season four, yeah.
Who said
Mr.
that...
Mr. Brooks.
For every amount of happiness, there's an equal amount of pain.
That's
I'm paraphrasing.
True. He did say that.
And that great pictures show that, and so...
Right, it's almost as if it's like a love triangle.
Almost
where...
as if.
Where...
Like
the
L.A.
Director,
Confidential.
Where the director is in love with the woman, and then his best friend is also in love with her.
It's almost like Dawson and... So really, it's just Dawson's Creek Redux.
Dawson, Joey, and Pacey.
Yeah. That's what... From now on, can we just talk about every single show and imply that Dawson's Creek did it first?
I would love
first, because nothing happened before 1997 that I remember. 98?
Between 97 and 2003.
Right.
Was basically the most amazing period of time in television of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did like that they, because it's like, okay, Jasmine and Crosby are back together. Jabbar is super happy. Obviously, like, if these are the more main characters on the show, so we want them to work it out. I think supposed to have been rooting for them to get back together, but in the meantime, there are these other new characters that are totally awesome, nice, good people. Dr. Joe and the cellist, whose name I can't remember.
It's the same thing. It's the same
so
thing.
I like that they at least showed, like, the cellist being upset, and she was really angry and hurt, and Dr. Joe took it like a champ.
He did. He's a freaking great guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
It's like giving Crosby his 49ers tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Overall, I'm not excited by the fact that they're back together and married now. But I thought the way that it happened, it was a nice way. And if there is no fourth season, I'm pretty sure there will be a fourth season. But if there isn't, then by ending the series with a wedding, I guess, you know. That's
it's declared itself a comedy rather than a tragedy.
Right.
I think
exactly.
That's how Shakespeare did it, right?
That's true.
Ended with a wedding instead of a funeral. Although Zeke might be dying?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Zeke and Camille?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really think Zeke is dying. I think it's just one of those, like...
thingies.
It's just one of those, like, your parents are starting to talk about their health kinds of things. And, like... You know, when you get to that age and your parents start mentioning health concerns or I think that's more...
Things start to just seem... Conversations just take a sad turn out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, there are more mentions of sad things happening to other people type of thing.
Uh-huh. Friends they know who
yeah.
Who fell.
Who've fallen. Yeah. They're at that age.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the episode and the scenes where Crosby was confronting Zeke about his health problems.
Yeah,
I liked that a lot. And just the kind of, as I was saying before, the chaotic nature, because at the same time Crosby was pissed at Adam, and his being pissed at Adam meant that he was being more aggressive with Zeke than he normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
And just that whole interaction where Zeke finally just told Crosby, I have this thing, I don't even remember what it's called, something heart,
leave it
it's
alone,
probably okay, I'm just taking some drugs for it. Yeah, leave it alone.
Except he never picked up his drugs. He should do that.
Oh, I know.
I don't know why people don't want to take pills.
Don't forget to pick up
Zeke,
your pills.
And Zeke, and any baby boomers listening, just take the pills.
Take the pills. That's what your doctor wants.
It's not because we're trying to control you.
Right.
It's a little bit because we're trying to control you.
It's not that we're trying to take your driver's license away.
Yet. But we will.
We definitely
and
will.
And we'll not feel sad when it happens.
No. And we probably won't...
All right, anyway.
Adam and Crosby, they had the season long.
That's been a good dynamic.
What's the lunch house? Is that what it's called?
The luncheonette.
The luncheonette, yeah.
What are they? So we're at a toy factory?
Shut up. That similar to the baby plot, the luncheonette plot was something that was introduced at the beginning of the season, that I was like, this is probably going to last, like, 6 episodes. And I wasn't super into it when it started, and was pleasantly surprised by the way it's evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that you can say about season 3 of Parenthood that's an improvement over season 2, is that they actually did start with plot points and developed them all the way through, and it didn't feel like it was... plots were getting cut off and, like, starting new plots midway through the season.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I feel like season 2 was kind of scattershot. Like, there were some really good episodes, and then suddenly it was like, Sarah's hanging out with Richard Dreyfuss, who's a playwright.
Or something.
And she's also a playwright.
Maybe he was a director?
Yeah. I don't know. Like that. So I'm, like, on that level, I'm really happy that they've played it out for a long time. And the one thing that I'm not sure about is, at the end of the season, Adam and Crosby got that offer from the record company man from West Coast Records, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were offering them $1 million to just take the lease. They don't even own the building. From a financial perspective, Crosby... I don't give a shit about how much, like, this intangibly means to you. Take the money.
And then they upped it to... How much did they up it to? Did they show
us? They never
us?
Showed it.
But they we can assume it was $200 million.
Yeah, at least $200 million. And then, of course, like, you think that maybe Adam is just gonna talk him into it, but then at the wedding, he tears up the cocktail napkin that the offer was on. Felt very Adam-like. Because
it was like, here's a problem that I've created,
right.
And now I'm going to heroically solve it in front of everyone and look like I'm a good guy.
Exactly.
When really I'm just cleaning up a problem that I created.
That I created, and that actually if I would have not been less selfish about it myself, I would have given Crosby good reasons
to sell right.
Rather than just being like, listen, Crosby, I really need the money.
Right. It was not anything, like, about how it could have helped Crosby or what Crosby could have done with it, or all of his reasons were like, I remember how I lost my job.
I know.
A season
Patty,
ago.
Patty really wants to go to
college.
Cornell.
Dental plan. Lisa needs braces. So that was annoying, as always. And then Christina got involved. Oh, okay. How about Christina and, Anne Egg. What's her
Amber.
Name? Amber.
How do you not remember any of
them? I don't, because
you're so good at character names, usually.
No, I'm not.
You're way better at remembering stuff than me.
Well, I'm better at remembering stuff than you, but I've never been good at names.
All right.
I don't know any of my students' names.
Well, it's...
I call them all Frank.
Frank. Frank 1, Frank 4.
Why would you skip from 1 to 4?
Oh, 2 Frank, and 3 are gone.
Frank, and it's all multiples of 4. So it's really confusing.
You're Frank 48. Different.
So, ex-Tina and
Amber.
Amber. That was an interesting...
They worked at the political campaign for...
Yeah.
The guy who was running for city council?
Yeah, and is only 28.
Seemed like a really, really high-powered campaign for a city
for
council.
City council. I was thinking that, too. But maybe San Francisco? Berkeley? Yeah. They live in Berkeley, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Berkeley area, yeah.
I don't know. And
so the whole Amber getting romantically involved with him at first seemed like he was... just a creeper.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like maybe he's just like it when they finally said, like, when they were about to hook up, like, oh, he's 28 and she's 19. Then I feel like at that point I was like,
had to say that probably because, like, test viewers were like, what is he, 40? I have no idea.
But that was the first point where I was like, oh, well, this isn't as bad as it could be. It's still not great, but it's not horrible.
It was weird. I mean, and he's not really very, he's kind of elf looking, and you know, he's just a, you know, I mean, he's a politician for crying out loud, you know, yeah. A bunch of criminals. And
probably not good in the sack.
Yeah, that's why I was going. Right. But I was really angry that Christina
intervened.
First of all, Hattie,
not your business.
Hattie, where have you been for the, like, the second half of this whole season? Yeah, and then your first, like, decent, like, involvement in any storyline at all
was
to rat out Amber.
Well, she had that episode where she wanted to go to Cornell, and Adam was being a dick about it and saying, like, oh, Max really needs the help. And she made a great point. It was like, Max gets everything, and I get nothing. For the most part, Hattie didn't have a big part to do with the last 30
seasons. I really thought Alex would come back.
Yeah.
When they broke up.
He'll come back at some point, I'm sure he will.
Right.
Yeah.
I was really mad at Christina, and then I felt like Sarah's reaction was really warranted when she found out what Christina did, and, like, for Christina to then, like, react the way she reacted, well, typical Christina. She and Adam just know everything. Better than everyone.
They're the oldest.
That's what this show does so well, is, like, on the one hand, I feel like our families are both very different and very removed from the family of the Bravermans.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I feel like you get so into it that you can, you start to get mad at Adam and Christina the way you get mad at an older brother and sister.
Yeah.
For, like, always thinking that they know what's best. I mean, like, they do that stuff really well.
Yeah, they do.
The writers and the actors really carry it off.
They really
quite nail well.
It. They really did a great job this season.
It's very, I mean, like, the dialogue is also natural, and like you said, with the kind of talking over each other, it's almost reminiscent of, like, Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Like, earlier, like, Woody Allen dialogue. Or not early, but, like, 70s, 80s, like, Woody Allen kind of, like,
Or even, like, Gilmore Girls, in a way.
In a way, yeah.
Not quite
Gilmore Girls is a lot less natural.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is a little more staged.
Gilmore Girls is more like a 1940, 50 era.
Yeah, that's true.
Movie. But, and I like it a lot in a very different way.
Yeah.
But,
What about, Max?
I'm glad that Amber, in the end, is going back to work, because I feel like Amber has taken a lot of... I feel like she gives up too easily on herself.
Yeah.
And I was angry with Christina for, like, meddling and getting involved, and because I kept thinking, like, okay, this whole campaign thing, something's gonna blow up in Amber's face, something's gonna, like, that was the other shoe that you're waiting to drop. And then so I'm glad that she didn't. At first, when she was no longer going, I thought, did she get fired? Like, that's ridiculous.
And as Sarah said, you know, let her make that mistake on her own.
Yeah.
Christina, let her, if it's a mistake, let her experience it on her own.
Right.
Totally. What about Max and his new friend?
Oh, that was heartwarming.
Oh, God.
That made me cry.
Yeah.
That was pretty wonderful.
And, like...
Way to do it, Parenthood.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, those last... Yeah, like, the last three episodes of Parenthood were probably the first where it was consecutive episodes that I wept a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which... Friday Night Lights, almost every episode I did, but...
Right.
So, you know, your ratio is still a lot lower in weeping to episode
mm-hmm.
than Friday Night Lights, but it's still above average in terms of TV.
Yeah. That was...
Yeah, when the scene where they were, like, playing Game Boys together and were like, I like to be serious, and I also like to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, that's the cutest,
I just loved when they invited him over and the other parents were all
yeah,
sad and, like, or, like, happy and grateful and, like, he hasn't had a friend. I think that was a nice moment for Adam and Christina to maybe get outside of themselves because they're not very good at that.
Yeah.
And maybe see, like, okay, see, like, you're not the only parent who has these kinds of worries.
Right.
And, like, maybe you can, like, take the role in, like, reassuring these parents instead of constantly needing to be the ones who are reassured.
Right.
And
right.
I think that they kind of... That was another moment where they just, like, the looks on their faces, I think they, like, gave each other a look. They didn't really say anything, mm-hmm. but it was clear that they, like, got that.
Yeah.
And were like, okay, yeah. Like, I don't know. Really? It was just really nice.
It was nice.
I like to call that a learning moment.
Right.
For that Braverman
film. They're growing to realize. I think the last Braverman we have yet to talk about much is Sarah.
Yeah, and I feel like Sarah hasn't had a lot going despite her relationship with, or other than her relationship with Mark.
And so, I think that's, but I mean, I think that's been a really big plot, especially
that
because
has, but
it's,
I want
because
her to be like a writer again or something.
Well, I mean, they've explored that, but I think this particular back third of the season was about her kind of just at a new crossroads in her life, whether she should marry Mark, have a baby with Mark, which was kind of the biggest thing was...
Uh-huh.
And that was actually a really... That's the plot that made me feel like this... I thought... That's why I thought this was going to end in total heartbreak, was that, like, she would want a baby and then... Or he wanted a baby and then she would decide, like, as much as he's a great guy, she wasn't ready for a baby and that they would break up. But
which
instead,
is almost what happened.
Which is almost what happened, but then they ended up getting engaged at the end.
And that's nice.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how that
plays out.
Shakes out.
I really
especially
like,
since he's not going to be... He's a regular on another show next year.
I really liked his... we already mentioned it a little bit. His talk with Drew and the moment where Drew starts crying.
Yeah.
Like, Drew doesn't get a lot of... emotional range in his character, but like that was a pretty good
whole interaction of Mark and Drew of like an older guy and like a teenage guy
mm-hmm.
like two dudes hanging out kind of interaction that felt like so real that they just nailed that like that whole like hey you want to have a burger. Yeah, just to hang out. Listen, man, I just want to, like, get to, like, that kind of, like...
The way older people talk to teenagers.
But, like, the way that, like, dudes, like, who know that they have to, like, start getting to know each other more, like, do that. Like, I like that a lot. But, yeah, in the scene, and just Mark's description of how he gets students to like him is by saying... Hey man, like starting a sentence like that,
yeah.
That made me laugh.
That was really funny. I feel like that there's also the characters. Obviously, the writing is all really kind of maybe self-referential in a way that Gilmore Girls was, or like super like hyper self-aware.
Yeah.
Right, but like in a way that seems more natural and more like the characters are like poking fun at each other a lot.
Yeah.
In like their use of language and like I don't know, but like everyone in the show except for Adam. And Christina.
Yeah.
Like, all these characters are just, like, so good at, like, joking, like, laughing at themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing that makes them all such, like, likable.
Yeah.
And I think that's what has made Mark a really likable character.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's been really good at, like, joking.
Yeah.
At his own expense with Sarah and with other people, that's been cool.
Do you think that Sarah, at the end of the series, whatever it is going to end up back with John Corbett?
I don't know. I mean, I think I would always have to choose John Corbett.
Yeah. Especially now that he's a chef.
And have you heard his voice?
He brings food back to the neighborhood on Applebee's.
Uh-huh. And Aiden and Northern Exposure.
Right.
But, I don't know. I don't think that they'll go there.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that Crosby and...
That's true.
Even when I didn't think Crosby and Jasmine were getting back together, if you had me bet them or Sarah and John Corbett, I still would have bet Crosby and Jasmine.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So
it's too much baggage.
We haven't talked that much about Drew. Drew's got his little girlfriend Amy, which is like adorable. They had sex at the wedding. I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I really loved the Sarah being like, "Why are you all sweaty?" and like touching him and him like pulling away and
yeah, that was funny.
Amy being like, "So, the lights are pretty."
Yeah.
But that's pretty ballsy to have sex in your bedroom for the first time ever.
Yeah, and
while there's like a wedding going on.
And your first time having sex, like, you're both just like, "We're just gonna get completely naked right now."
I know.
And just do it.
Yeah.
Well done, Drew.
That was pretty great.
Well done. You get a round of applause.
Bonnie Bedelia? I'm sorry, Camille. She's had like no... Does she do stuff other than her hobbies? I feel like in a recent episode she was sorting papers or something.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
She doesn't...
She's there to have a pleasant voice.
But it's funny because I feel like... Is there a reason for that? Like a behind-the-scenes, like, actress...
I don't think so. I think it's more just like a... It's more just they have so many characters and you probably realize there isn't that much that she can do on her own that's that compelling. I don't know.
I think she's a really good actress. Because she's a woman?
Yeah, it's because she's a woman, clearly.
I just feel like she seems so in the background of so many scenes, and she seems like her character almost seems aware that she's in the background.
But
and, like, annoyed to be there. Like, that's, like, the vibe I'm getting from Camille, like, the second half of this whole season, is like, what do you want? You want something?
Yeah. I like her presence there, though. I think she gives kind of a level of kind of authority. And...
But, like, if this were a reality show, which I recognize on some level that it's not, but, like, if these were real people, it seems like she's got her own private stuff happening and it's not really my business.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I'm getting from her character this season.
Yeah. And that's fine. And that's fine because things can happen off screen and just be like...
Her hobbies.
We're not going to bother Camille today.
Right.
She's got her own things.
Sydney. Not a lot of stuff with Sydney. Nora, yeah. I almost forgot, was alive.
Did Sydney... Was that in this last third of the season where they had to teach her about playing games?
I think that might have been earlier, but I really liked that episode.
Yeah, that was pretty adorable.
Yeah. And every once in a while they'll make reference to how horrible she is. Like how bratty and spoiled.
Even though, look at her, she's adorable.
Yeah.
I think that's everything.
Sorry I brought up class and...
It's okay.
Other social issues.
It's important.
But it's also important to... I mean, important in Schmorton. We're, I don't know, talking about a show we like. I do appreciate that despite... I think that a lot of the critiques are legit or, like, valid or worth, like, thinking about. But I also do really like that the writers are kind of... letting things play out on a character-to-character, individual-to-individual level. And it seems like when stuff creeps up as issues to talk about, they'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But they don't. It's not too in-your-face about it. So, like, infertility is another one that you could go the route of taking a really political...
Yeah.
...kind of socially conscious, like, talking about, like, Julia's inability to have a baby. But instead, I mean, I feel like they're almost kind of standing back and letting it happen in a more... human, realistic sort of way that things would play out. Because I don't think people actually do talk about stuff like that for the most part in their lives. They, like, it just happens. And they
I think going off of that, you could argue that it's because it is by nature a micro level show. Mm-hmm. It's not something like The Wire that's trying to make a stand, like make a case by using characters as symbols of entire systems of people. And
right.
It's about individual people. And when you look at it that way, then the issues of adoption and, you know, I guess that's kind of the big issue of this season, mm-hmm. or ended up being kind of the big issue of the season. It doesn't matter to me as much because of that, because it's,
because you don't think that's looking the purpose at, of the show.
Because it's about, yeah, because I don't think that's what the show is going for. I think it's going for what would these people do in these particular circumstances.
Yeah.
And you can look at anything on a macro level and say this has meaning, and on some level it does, but I think in this particular show, I think it's more about people and it's more about, especially about how they interact with each other and how...
Do you wonder a little bit where Zeke and Camille's money comes from, though? What did Zeke do? Did we... Because remember at the beginning he was, like, going broke or something?
TV middle class.
TV middle class, which is real life.
Which is...
Upper middle class. Right. Way upper middle class.
Yeah. That's the way that I think of it. Because, like, I wouldn't want to watch a show. I would be less interested in watching it if Joel and Julia lived in, like, a house in Minneapolis it's, like, 1,200 square feet.
Wow. So you don't like real stuff about real people?
Well, no.
I am a little curious. Like, I just wonder... I think we talked about this before, that plot where he was going to go broke or something. Like, he had investments that were bad, and then they just kind of dropped. I think that maybe Parenthood, like, the writers know who their audience is and what they're going for and what they're trying to say and maybe what they're not trying to say. And them, like, dropping that plot mime might have meant, like, signifying, like, we're not going to go there with this show. Like, that's not what this is about.
I'm guessing that, like, they probably at that point were thinking that's not a very... They were kind of still trying to find their footing in terms of what makes a good TV show.
Yeah.
I think in the third season, they really nailed what's successful for the show and a good formula for the show. So,
So is it as good as Dawson's Creek, though?
It's as good in a different way.
Okay.
But
they're both better different in different but
right,
better ways.
Exactly. Sure. To quote the movie Kicking and Screaming.
Yeah.
I think they're...
Pat Haney.
I think it's a little bit better than Dawson's Creek. But because, well...
But you wouldn't put it in, like, Friday Night Lights.
No, but I would definitely put it in, like, the second tier of shows that I think of. Like, I like, when Big Love was on, I always consider that as, like... A second tier type show.
Yeah.
I think, like, Parenthood is a better second tier show.
Wow. Okay. Than Big, like, Love.
Yeah.
Big Love got a little wonky.
I think it's, like, a better second tier show that at times gets into that first tier.
Okay. I would agree.
Especially
with that.
In the second to last episode, and I think the road trip episode was phenomenal.
What about the season finale? Did you like that as well? That was the wedding. That was kind of a.
It was
now
kind
we
of
have
a
to wrap
denouement,
this up.
Yeah. Right. And actually the episode before, the Tough Love episode, that was the episode where Crosby was confronting Zeke, and everyone was confronting each other.
That was a good episode.
And everyone was just like, I think I just kept saying to you, Bridget, I kept saying, like, why? It's not your business. Stop meddling. It's not your business.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really good episode. Mm-hmm. So, I just rambled
for a long time about Parenthood.
As we do every 6 weeks when it's on.
Long ramble.
Yeah, that's what we do for Parenthood.
How should we wrap this up?
Well, what if you had to assign a letter grade to season 3? What would you give it?
A B.
A B.
Yeah.
Wow, it's kind of harsh.
No, it's not. It's above average.
Above average.
It has met and exceeded all the requirements for this course.
If Parenthood is a season 3 is a B, then what is Dawson's Creek season 3?
Oh, like a C.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's super harsh.
I'm a tough...
Man.
I mean, if we're talking about it against, like, if A is for, like, the best thing on television ever, okay, I can't just give out an A.
Right.
A B is not bad.
Right.
That's what I...
You can't give, like, you can't give season 3 of Dawson's Creek, like, a B minus or, like, a C plus.
I didn't like that season very much. Okay. It's still good. It's still C. It still meets all the requirements for this. All
right. That's fair.
No, because, I mean, if I'm thinking of something that's, like, an A, there are a few things that I would give an A to.
Sure.
Especially over the arc of the whole season. I think there were individual episodes in this season, and I would have to go through and think about that I would give, like, an A or A minus
right,
to.
Right.
But overall, as a season, I would give it, like, a B, maybe a B plus. I could be talking to a B plus.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's bad. What would you give it?
I would give it a B plus.
Yeah.
For overall.
Okay.
With the last six episodes, probably an A minus overall.
Yeah. I agree with that. So,
yeah. And you know what you can also do with Parenthood is you can watch, I think the first two seasons are on Netflix instant streaming, which is, of course, as you have heard many times before on this podcast, our wonderful sponsor. You can go to bit.ly/blogflix and receive a free 2-week trial, and after that it is only $8 a month.
I recommend it if you have not already done so, because thanks to Netflix, we have been able to watch and come to love many shows.
A lot of movies.
And if you haven't watched Parenthood at all, I don't really know why you're listening to this, but it's worth watching. It's worth starting from the beginning. Getting to know the characters, even if you've maybe just come into it this season, I think it's worth going back and rewatching.
Yeah.
Or watching for the first time the first two seasons.
Or, you know, watching, like, The Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries!
You're so addicted.
OMFG. Is that what we're going to talk about next time?
Maybe, if we can.
Because we finally started season 3, and wowza.
You like it?
Yeah. Okay, so, like, Vampire Diaries season 2 overall, I would give an A.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was really good TV.
It was really good. It was great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. I think that's all she wrote.
Yeah.
So, I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget. And our opinions are valid. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.